is Your Working Life, a podcast that provides you with tools, inspiration, and resources so you can enjoy your career and love your life. I'm Caroline Dowd Higgins. I'm a speaker, an author, and an executive coach. And today, I am just delighted to welcome Regina Lawless to the show. Regina helps high-achieving Black women find purpose beyond the paycheck to experience more bliss in their lives and sustainable success at work and home. Regina, welcome.
Thank you, Caroline. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I am too. I was telling you and I were chatting before the show started, and I'm so excited about your book. I've read it and devoured it, and I'm really eager to dive into a juicy conversation. But I want to give you an opportunity to set up your experience and your background, because you've worked in HR and specifically diversity, equity, and inclusion at tech companies, but you made a conscious move to leave to become a coach. So I'd love to hear that story to set up that journey for this global audience.
Absolutely. So yes, my career background is in corporate HR. I was in HR for almost 20 years, and most recently at Meta. So I joined them in November of 2020 to be the head of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, for Instagram, which was a dream role. About 6 months into my tenure as head of DEI, my husband sadly passed away. And so that sent me on this journey of not only recovering from that grief, but really a journey of self-discovery. And through that, I ended up deciding that there was more for me outside of the corporate landscape. And really, I began to lean into this calling to help other women figure out some truths that I had found through my journey to heal. And that's really how to live a more bold, blissful life without sacrificing everything and everyone, or everything and every aspect of yourself in the process. And so that's what led me to leave corporate and start my business, Bossy and Blissful, and really help coach other women on how they can live more fully.
I love that. And I'm so deeply grateful for the work that you're doing. And I'm so sorry about your husband. That loss is so impactful. Tell us a
Thank
little
you.
Bit more about how you began to navigate that, because here you were in this high-powered role, and you know, corporate America doesn't give space necessarily for grief and loss and challenges in our lives. They expect us to show up and be fully present and high functioning all the time.
Yes. And that's really the first kind of thing that I had to do, is really give myself space, because you're right. Especially if you're in a leadership role, the expectations are intense. And so thankfully Meta allows for 30 days for bereavement when you lose a spouse. So that gave me the initial time that I needed, but even that, a month is not nearly enough to really get your bearings. So I took some additional time, and that is where I began to get back in touch with myself. About a month or two after my husband passed away, I took this solo trip, and I talk about this in the book. And that was the first time that I really took some time by myself. I went up to the California coast, Mendocino County, and that's when I began to reconnect with myself. So I encourage people now, whether you're grieving or going through something significant in your life, give yourself some time and space. And corporations really need to allow people that time and space to heal.
I love that. And as a fellow coach, I think we're kindred spirits in this. We don't always give ourselves that space. You know, the world is sensory overload, and that quiet can really be centering and give us permission to consider and think and ponder.
Absolutely.
So there's no doubt you were a leader at Meta, presumably a great paycheck and a great experience. And it's a bit scary to think about hopping off that very fast moving corporate train. So how did you even begin to process what that exit looked like and becoming a full-time entrepreneur and creating Bossy and Blissful?
Well, first of all, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because to your point, for me, I had reached the pinnacle of my career, everything that I had hoped for and had been working so hard for. And I had made a very comfortable life for myself. I was highly paid. I had all the things in my life. And so it was scary. However, what began to happen after I came back from my bereavement leave and really started to get back in touch with my own needs and desires, I started to understand the vision that I really wanted for my life and reconnected with what my values were, it became so clear for me that I wasn't happy. Even though I had all of the success that, you know, we're told that we're supposed to want. And I had kind of this enviable life, like had an outside looking in, but I wasn't fulfilled. And so once I realized that no amount of money could, you know, give me the meaning I was searching for, it became a no-brainer to start to make, you know, take steps to move in the direction that I really wanted, which was to start my own business and to write this book. And of course, that didn't happen overnight, but I really think it starts with having a powerful vision and getting clear with yourself on what success really means to you and what meaning, what brings your life meaning.
I love that. And, you know, it just made me smile. We're obviously on a podcast. We can't see, but, you know, smile ear to ear thinking about values alignment, because when we're not aligned with what's important to us, that's where the stress and the dissatisfaction just festers. So you said something so poignant, you know, the blueprint for success in corporate America doesn't work for everybody. And you write so eloquently in the book, especially for women and people of color. So say more about that.
Yeah. So this blueprint of you need to sacrifice everything, your personal life, your time to be successful and fall in line, that is even more hard to do when you're underrepresented, when you're in a space where, you know, no one or very few people look like you. So there's this, you think of the regular corporate pressure to, you know, put everything on the line and focus on work above all. And then you add these other kind of mental pressures of having to conform and having to downplay aspects of yourself culturally to fit in. So I recently contributed to an article about code switching, and that's really this concept that people have to change aspects of their self, alter how they talk, alter how they dress to fit into what is considered the, you know, majority standard. And so that was incredibly stressful for me because I was a Black woman and saw very few Black women leaders. I tried to emulate the only leaders that I knew, which were white men. So I had to, or at least I thought I had to contort myself to be more like them, which in turn was killing my own spirit, my own identity. And it kept me on this perpetual loop of just being exhausted because I'm always constantly thinking about how I present myself and I have to say the right thing and I have to work this much harder to be seen. And so that makes it a very, very narrow path to success for women and people of color.
How do you define success now? Because you've liberated from yourself from that corporate blueprint, and really you're charting a path that you're designing.
Yeah, and thank you for asking that question, because I think that's really key. I had to reframe my definition of success from just being achievement oriented. I've always been like an overachiever. And I was so focused on, oh, if I get to this level, that signals achievement. If I make this amount of money, that means that I'm successful. And so all of these external measures is what kept me exhausted and you know, striving and never feeling fulfilled. Now that I've gotten in alignment with my mind, body, spirit, my heart's desires, now I define success, one, in terms of being in alignment with myself, being in integrity with who I am inside. So that is the first way I define success now? And then also, am I being of service to others? So it's that purpose piece. So that's really important to me. When I was working in corporate, even though I felt like I was doing important work, it wasn't the work that was most meaningful to me. It wasn't lighting me up inside. I wasn't doing what I was called to do. I was doing what the corporation wanted me to do. And so now success for me is being able to wake up every day and know that I'm living my purpose to help other women. And that also ties into my value system.
Love that. Regina, we'll be right back after a quick break.
I'd like to tell you about a special offer. If you want to bring your podcast to life or up your podcast game, you can get up to 2 months of free podcasting service with Libsyn using my special code CDHWORK. The Libsyn team will get your podcast on Apple and Spotify and give you access to critical stats and all the support you need to sound your best and grow your show. Use my special code CDHWORK.
Hiring the right speaker for your event is a tremendous responsibility. You need a speaker who will work within your budget and engage your audience. Whether you're looking to retain or grow top talent, create a healthy workplace culture, or prevent burnout in your organization, I can create customized content to help you recharge, reignite, or reinvent your career. Let's talk about how I can help you achieve your special event goals. Connect with me at CarolineDowdHiggins.com.
So, Regina, I'm telling you, I feel like we are kindred spirits in so many ways. As I was reading this book, I was dog-earing it and highlighting it, and I've got Post-its all over it. I mean, it's a mess. Your beautiful book has been written on so much, but that's a compliment. But you write so amazingly about the hustle culture, and my goodness, there is a difference between productivity and toxic busyness. And I'd love for you to unpack that for this audience, because so many women are high achieving and men too, right? But you and I know that so many women are listening to this show, and we really want to honor them with some tools and action steps. And this is right up your alley about how to debunk the hustle culture myth.
Oh my goodness. This was probably the biggest thing I had to unlearn, because I had been telling myself this story my whole life, and it had been told to me from my parents and society that I needed to work twice as hard for half as much. That's a pretty common phrase in the African-American community. So as you can imagine, being raised thinking I always had to work twice as hard, it played into our already American culture of hustle and this toxic busyness mentality that we have. So I found it very difficult to just sit down and be still. I didn't even have a concept of not doing. I was always doing for other people, always thinking about what I needed to do for my husband, my son, my team at work. And so once I took some time off to really connect with myself and to hear my own voice and desires, I started to really bring my nervous system back into a state of, I would say, calm. And I found before that I was always hypervigilant and just revved up. It took me time away, as well as learning to meditate and do yoga, to finally bring myself back to a state of calm. And from that place, I was able to see, oh, okay. I was able to see all the ways I was being reactive. So I write in the book that I became a boundary ninja. Mm-hmm. So I started to erect all kinds of boundaries in my life to give myself that peace and that space to just be. And what I discovered in that, in doing little things like I would actually get up and meditate in the mornings before work, even if it was for 5 minutes, give myself that space to just sit with myself. I started to take walks in the middle of the day just to get some fresh air because I was working remotely. I would end work by a pretty consistent time, like no later than 6 p.m. And usually earlier than that on most days, so that I had time to truly disconnect. I stopped working on the weekends. So all of these ways I started to recapture time for myself and started to actually do things for me. And I describe in the book these pleasure principles, one of them being give yourself permission to indulge. So I started to indulge more. And those are through those type of practices of just indulging in what I needed, giving myself some quiet time, that started to get me out of the toxic busyness. Then I started to realize how much I loved just giving myself time to do nothing. I give another tip in the book, especially for busy women, give yourself 24 hours of no responsibility a week.
Wow.
Just nothing that you are responsible for, only what you want to do for 24 hours.
Yeah. What a gift. And it's hard. You know, in the beginning, it's hard.
It really is. It takes practice. And so I encourage people just to start small. I have this framework in the book called the 3D time ownership, which just has you look at all of your to-dos, personal and professional. I like to look at it in advance of the upcoming week and say, what can I delete? So what doesn't need to be done? What can I delegate? Because it doesn't require my skill set to do it. Or what can I defer? Sometimes we fill our weeks with things that don't even have to be done right now. So I go through that exercise. And then if it's something that is urgent and only I can do it, then it remains on my to-do list. But by doing that, I freed up all kinds of space during my week. And then that gave me the ability to start trying out new things and seeing what I like. So I would say don't be too hard on yourself, because it is hard. These are really ingrained patterns of behavior and thinking. And so it takes time to unwind that. But the best way to do it is to start experimenting.
Yeah. And thank you for your clarity and your candor there. It does take time. These habits often are decades long, depending upon each person. I'd love, though, to hear a little bit more about how you indulge, because I think so many people listening are thinking, I can't do that, right? I don't have time for that, or I'm focused on everybody else. And you are giving us permission to indulge in almost seemingly simple things that we might not have even considered.
Oh, yes. It goes from, in the book, you'll notice that it's seemingly simple, like things for me, like frozen yogurt. Like I would once a week, I would go get myself frozen yogurt. I started getting my nails done again. That was something that I had stopped doing because I felt like I was too busy. I started doing that. I love makeup. So I was like, oh, I'm going to buy myself a nice lipstick. So little things like that up to the extreme. I share a story in the book how I indulged in this lavish birthday party for myself. And it was completely over the top, complete with, I hired backup dancers.
I love it to
perform with me. And so that was as indulgent as you can get, but it made me so happy because it brought back something I loved to do as a child, which was dance. And so I encourage people to do that as a form of indulgence. Think back to what you used to do as a kid. There's often so much joy in that, whether you used to like to draw or collect, you know, baseball cards, or, you know, or play with dolls or dress up, whatever. We all had things that just brought us pure joy when we were little. And that often is the key to getting back to adding some joy and indulgence in our lives.
Oh, I love it. I can feel the smile in your voice. It's fantastic. So, Regina, I want to honor the extraordinary work that you're doing. And part of your business is creating communities so women of color don't feel isolated at work. So tell us more. What have you seen come from these communities that maybe wouldn't happen in a regular workplace?
Yes. So I started early last year with just testing out the concept of bossy and blissful before I even left corporate. And I started with having in-person meetups. And the first one, I got together a group of Black women leaders. And even though I realize how isolating the role can be, it surprised me to see how powerful it was to have this safe space for us to come together. And one of the things we did in that first meeting was just go around the room and introduce ourselves and share some of the challenges. And it was amazing to see how much we all had in common, how much we were all struggling to be kind of one of the only people in our spaces and carry the weight of that as well as the weight of our family responsibilities. So it was a sigh of relief amongst the room to be seen and heard and have that sense of, okay, I'm not alone. And so this year, what I'm looking to do is pivot that into an online community so that I can create that sense of community at scale. We'll still do some in-person events, but the power of just having other people who have similar, you know, walk of life or similar experiences and being able to bounce ideas off each other. That's the other thing that came from that. A lot of networking happened in that room and through the community thus far. And the other thing we did was just have fun. Like, these were all like leaders. We all have these serious high-powered jobs, but we played trivia. We just let our hair down, and that brought so much unexpected joy. And so that's another thing I want to do with Bossy and Blissful. I believe in not taking yourself too seriously. And through the tragedy of losing my husband, I appreciate life so much more. And I want to help other people really live into this beautiful life that we're blessed to have for as long as we're here on earth.
Well, Regina Lawless, you are an inspiration, my friend, and I'm so deeply grateful that you spent time with me on the show today. Your extraordinary book is called Do You, A Journey of Success, Loss, and Learning to Live a More Meaningful Life. And it is by Fast Company Press, and I just love it so much. It is available on Amazon and all major book retailers. But Regina, I'm confident that people listening around the world are going to want to follow you after this show. So how can they connect with you?
Yes, they can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm also on Instagram at Regina.Lawless. And you can, of course, connect with me on my website, ReginaLawless.com. You can also download the first chapter of Do You for free from my website.
Awesome. Regina, thank you, my friend. I am so excited to have this conversation with you today. I wish you continued success, and I hope our paths continue to cross.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Your Working Life is now available on all major podcast platforms, and I'd love to hear from you, so let me know how we're doing. Leaving a review will help new listeners find us online. And a special shout out to my extraordinary podcast colleagues, Laura Deck, Executive Director of Publicity and Communications, and Claire McInerney, Executive Producer. Thank you for making this show awesome for our global audience. We now have listeners in 34 countries around the world. I'm Caroline Dowd Higgins. Thanks for listening.